football game. But for what you pay the price for, there are great rewards.
Are you ready?
Live from the studios of Fox Sports Knoxville, this is The Blitz with Rick Butler, Chance Collins, and Brandon Orrick.
Welcome to The Blitz today, live on FanRun Radio, Fox Sports Knoxville. Today is Tuesday, October 27th. The time is 10:05 a.m. We are here in studio, ready for another great day. Hey, my name is Rick Butler. Joined to my right is Charlie Collier. And back behind the booth, the one and only Chance Collins. Good morning, gentlemen. How y'all doing today?
Doing great, Rick. How about you?
Say that again.
I said, doing great, Rick. How about, is my mic still off?
You sound funny.
Is it on? I don't know.
You sound really weird today.
I know. I can't tell if his mic is on or off.
How about now?
Yeah, you were off.
There we go.
So I was just talking loud enough
to pick up on all the other mics.
I'm doing great, Rick.
Because you're loud.
How are you doing?
Not too bad. Not too shabby at all. Chance?
I'm feeling pretty good. You were pretty loud there, Charlie. Pick up all these on these other condenser mics. That's a pretty strong voice. No, I'm feeling pretty good. A little chilly outside. I can't complain.
If you are if you're out there and you're listening to the show at this current moment, you can go ahead and hop on your own Twitter account. Go to Compose New Tweet. Type in at Brandon Orrick. And then say, where are you at? Because that is the question of the day today. We have an MIA, what is it, MIA?
Yeah, MIA.
Brandon Orrick is MIA.
We have MIA on Brandon Orrick, missing persons alert, milk carton.
Yep, I was about to say,
all the above.
Stop by the gas station, I'll get a milk carton on the way home, I'll see my good buddy Brandon.
He'll be here.
We're on the lookout.
Or yeah. maybe not, maybe he's having a bad day. We don't know what's going on. We don't know, but everybody can tweet him at Brandon Orrick and ask him where he's at if they'd like
just
to.
Just say, where are you at? In all caps, like your Brady
maybe
Hulk.
Even throw an entertaining gif.
Yeah,
I withhold judgment until more context is provided.
I like it, Charlie.
Oh, I know. Like I'm just trying to mess with him. I know that Brandon Orrick is perfectly fine. He will probably stroll here in the building in about 10 minutes or
he
so.
He better have breakfast.
But that's true.
He better
that's
have
a rule
breakfast.
On the show. If you have a morning show and you're late, well, then the consequence is breakfast for everybody. He better know this.
Think it'll be keto?
I hope so for you.
You can just take off the biscuit. You eat the meat. You'll be all right.
Gentlemen,
you got to adapt, Charlie.
Yeah, very true. Gentlemen, we continue the week as today is a Tuesday. Now it's a bye week. So it's a little bit. It'll be a little bit of a different week. I guess you have Arkansas still on deck next. Still stepping up to the plate next. That'll be here in about 2 weeks or so. But we'll continue to kind of talk about some of this team. And, you know, I do want to get into the positives because
Are there any?
You know, Chance, we are some smart, capable young men. I feel like we can find the positives, right? Because ultimately, like, here's what I think. I still think that there are places on this team that are just underperforming to a less explainable extent, right? Like, we obviously know that quarterback and offensive line relationship is going to be symbiotic. It's going to be parallel. When one's not playing well, it's likely going to have an impact on the others. But sometimes, you know, we might have seen just poor mistakes via tackling or poor mistakes via penalties or things like that. There's areas in Tennessee's game right now that I do think can and should be improved just through the bye week. And that is something that I want to talk about today. What are the most likely, or at least kind of this week, what are the most likely things that we can expect Tennessee to have an immediate change on here during the bye week? You know what I mean? Like, we're not necessarily, Tennessee's not going to be rolling out a brand new offensive scheme or a brand new defensive scheme. We know this. But there's got to be a couple things that, you know, they're going to be, they're basically saying right now during this week in practice, and they're saying this has to be fixed. We have 2 weeks. This has to be fixed for Arkansas. We've let it slide for too long. This is our chance to really kind of button up on things. So I do want to talk about that today. We did not get into any of the NFL games yesterday, really. So we got to go back and check out that because there were some bangers in the NFL.
We got Fast Freddy's NFL scoreboard update.
Okay. You know, that's a... You know, I'm more a fan of the segment than the name, but well, hey, we roll on. We march on. By the way, I was listening to the radio coming in this morning. And for my fellow fans out there, things are not good. Chance, I played the audio for Charlie once he got here. But if you would like to know how things are going in Dallas right now with our football team down there, you know, the one with the star on the helmet, it's not good.
America's Jerry Jones. Team.
Jerry Jones did an interview this morning. I was listening to it on the way in here. Exact quote from the interview. Will you just shut up and let me answer the question? Ugh. Not a good look.
Yeah, he's getting a little senile.
A little
he's
cranky.
He's very ornery.
A little grumpy.
Yeah, he's a curmudgeon. But things are not great when you have such high expectations. And unfortunately, you have the injury to Dak. They bring in the Red Rifle, who I guess they thought was going to be the savior, and their issues are on defense. And all the talk about was Dak going to be the guy? Is he the guy? Is he worthy enough for the starting job and the money? I think that's answered. The offense is definitely astronomically better as Dak as quarterback, and Zeke ain't doing anything. He was the guy that was getting it done. Why? He's definitely worth the money. I guess they figured that out very quickly. But their deficiencies are on the defensive side, have been for a long time. And that falls on the GM, who is also the owner.
Will you just shut up? Let me answer.
I'd like to eat just the slightest bit of crow. The Red Rifle.
Oh my God, he looks.
The rifle seemed to have been jammed.
It's pointed the wrong way.
It's not a red rifle. It's like the 1940s. Like
might be a prop gun.
Yeah,
it's got the little
something from the Civil War
bang,
era. Yeah,
I really, really expected better from.
What is he? He has a bayonet now. He doesn't have a rifle.
I thought he was just going to be able to sit there and then just air it out to three really good receivers.
Well, you would think that he'd be able to just come in and game manage at least, and like, but he can't. He's lost it.
I feel like
I don't know.
While
if they,
you,
a game
you can
even
blame
a
him
thing
to
with
an
that team.
You can blame him, but at the same time, some of the blame falls on the offensive line. I feel like it has not protected him well enough.
Yeah, and you know they're losing. They're 45% of their cap right now is off the field injured.
Yeah, and you can say that, but like also we could look at it and say, well, Dak wasn't struggling as far as putting up the numbers offensively. With that same,
superstar.
You know, tethered offensive line, he looked like one of the best quarterbacks, if not the best, playing like the best whenever he went down. You are right. There's a lot of problems on the offensive line, but I think it's also Andy Dalton just don't have it anymore, and we've seen that. And I as a Cowboys fan, you guys got to be like, we need to pay Dak.
Oh yeah,
we need to pay Dak.
Yeah, I would think so. I think people
you don't
are...
have a quarterback, you don't have anything. In
hey,
this
what
league.
About Tanucci? Yeah.
DiNucci, we got Ben DiNucci.
What if he just goes out there
ben
and just
Ben DiNucci? That would be fantastic.
Crazy.
It's a great name.
Kellen Moore just like let me suit up. I mean, it hasn't been that long since
he
played,
four
right?
Jersey. I know nobody ain't used that number 4 jersey. Where is it? It's clean.
I mean, like really, like he just stopped playing like what 3 years ago? It feels like, and then he became a coordinator. Overnight.
Charlie, you were at the Titans and the Steelers game over the weekend. One of the, in my opinion, one of the best NFL games of the season so far.
Yeah, I was. There were way too many Steelers fans there, too, which was frustrating.
They've always rolled deep to the Titans games.
Well, they're just terrible souls. No offense to you,
you
Steelers
said
fans.
Yesterday they were your least favorite fan base in the
NFL?
Yes, they
are by
or
far.
All time?
Them and maybe the Memphis Tigers are tied for my least two least favorite
fan. And that comes a lot
bases.
With the rival with Tennessee. Like I said, sure. I remember the Lindell White days. Like, we talked about it that week. Like, they've always – Steeler fans are out in Tennessee as far as a lot of people being Steeler fans before the actual team. You're either, like, a Steeler or Cowboys fans. I remember, like, growing up, there was a lot of Steelers-Cowboys fans before there was an actual Tennessee football team. And they show up and show out. And there was a lot of trash talk between Steelers fans and Titans fans. That I saw back and forth on Twitter and a lot of my friends back home who are...
Consistently have rude interactions with people. I'm like, there's always, like, you know, rude fans here or there that'll come into your stadium. I mean, I'll root for my team pretty aggressively and you know, make a joke or two. But, like, normally I get along with the away fans. It's like, you know, we're just both here to watch football. And at the end of the day, like Logan Booker said, you know, six of the other days of the week, give you the shirt off my back. But the Steelers fans... Man, I just consistently have negative interactions with all of them, for the most part. And every time the Steelers have come to Nashville, I just can't think of any positive reactions or interactions I've had with any, which is a shame. And I'm sure there are good Steelers fans out there, so sorry if you are one, but I just really dislike y'all.
Look, I didn't even know that I guess, rivalry or you know, there was a hidden rivalry underneath. I guess Chance is totally right. That does make sense. You know, kind of talking about where people were fans of before the Titans moved in. But either way, we'll get into all that. We'll break it all down.
Also, in the old division.
Say that again?
They were, you know, they were in that old division.
Yeah.
Okay, that makes sense. That makes a lot of sense. We'll certainly break down that game. We'll talk about all these NFL games. We'll also dive back into the games that were in the college football world. But guys, first and foremost, coming up today, And we'll really kind of start this segment after the break. But man, I don't know if you guys were on the internet yesterday, but I'm sure you were. Now there was a little bit of disagreeing opinions on the internet yesterday. Now I actually know both of you guys saw what I'm talking about because you both kind of had a little bit of response to it. But there was a notion going around that really kind of got people talking back and forth. And it revolves around Jeremy Pruitt, right?
I really could not figure out what you were talking about for the longest time there.
But now you do.
Now I do. Oh,
right.
Oh, there is some stuff.
So, you know, people certainly disagreed on it. People certainly went back and forth on it. I mean, the comment section for this post is nuts. Is nuts. So here's what I want to do to start off the show today. I want to give my take. And I want to get y'all's take. But I want to set the record straight on that question, right? I think kind of where we really do feel it is, and we can kind of talk it out in a conversational way, right? Because I don't necessarily think it's on that side of the spectrum, but obviously I don't think anybody is clamoring to, I think that maybe people are. I don't know. Maybe I'm getting a little tongue-tied now. But that's where I want to go here on the other side of the break, is I do want to talk about Jeremy Pruitt. I want to talk about his future with the team, and I want to talk about what we think about where he and the team is going. Sound good?
Let's go with me.
Good to go. All right, so 865-546-8200. That is your number to call in on the show today. That is the number for the G3 Help Me hotlines. As always, you can give us a call. I believe we already have the phone lines filling up a little bit.
We do.
So we'll be sure to hit those very, very soon. But again, on the other side of the break, we'll start the conversation with a little bit of Jeremy Pruitt talk right here on The Blitz. Don't go anywhere. We'll see you in a minute. Round and round, round and round. Right, here we go back here on The Blitz, 10:23 a.m. Rick, Charlie, and Chance hanging out with you as we are making our way through the first hour of the show today. Hey, we'll head over to the G3 Help Me hotlines and get a call from your favorite, my favorite, our favorite, everybody's favorite, heard live on the radio 3 to 6 p.m. every single day, Give it up for Bear. Welcome to the Blitz. How you doing, my friend?
Bear.
Bear, I just gave you a huge introduction.
Yeah, are you listening?
Did you even hear it?
Bear, I believe you guys got the wrong color.
Oh, it's even better. Even better.
Wait, what just happened?
Even better.
Wow, what a switcheroo.
Well, Bear's next then.
Okay.
This is even better. It's
good
the
morning, fish.
Let's go. Glove, glove.
Glove, glove.
Glove, glove in the tub. Fish.
How you doing?
Glove, glove.
Wait, so...
Doing all right, guys.
It threw Fish off. He didn't have his music. It threw him off.
It did. Well, I wasn't expecting. I was like, okay, Bear's going to be first. And then I heard the thing click, and I'm like, oh, what just happened? How you guys doing?
Feeling pretty good, man. How are you? Long time no talk, even though it's just been a week.
Doing good. Doing good. I had a little theory, a little spooky talk with you guys coming.
Okay.
You got a fish story, like a ghost story in the name of Halloween, for the name of Halloween?
Well, not necessarily a ghost story, more like a spooky theory.
A spooky theory.
Okay.
Hit me. All right.
All right. So I think it might be time to have the talk, to have the conversation that the University of Tennessee, and or just maybe the football program in general, is cursed.
Yes, because of the bridge, right? In the burial site?
There was, I've read a few things. There was a really good, on a message board probably 3 or 4 years ago, there was a really good one. That, I mean, it was obviously joking about how Fulmer may have sold his soul for the championship in 98. And it might be time to really start thinking about this. And us as fans, we maybe should just embrace it. I mean, look at Chicago or the Cubs.
Look, Weston, you're going to immediately bring up the Cubs as the first team, and you're telling me we got 80-something more years of this? I'm going to ahead and turn in my credentials and change professions now.
Well, you just embrace it a little bit. I mean, we could become the lovable losers. And, you know, I mean, they still sold out the stands. They have one of the biggest fan bases around. And it just makes it that much sweeter when the curse is broken. But we do need to find the root of the curse and how to switch it.
Okay, I'm in. We'll do that. Whatever information you can find, you lay it on to us. We'll pass it on to the right people. We'll compile information. How about that?
Sounds good. Do you think Fulmer dabbled in the occult maybe back in the late 90s?
I really thought you were going to talk about the potentially disturbed Cherokee burial mound that happened in 1999, right?
Oh,
after
wow.
The national championship, when they decided to build a bridge from the ag campus connecting it to the regular campus. The initial plans were going to disturb a Cherokee burial mound, and then they just kind of brush it off to the side and claim that they fixed it and did all the right things, but to this day people think that they just disturbed the mound to save money.
And they unleashed the ghost, the ghouls.
And since then, it has cursed our athletics, specifically our football.
I like it, Charlie.
I kind of like where you're going, too, Charlie, with that one.
There is a...
That bridge was never made. There's not a bridge from the ag campus to the regular campus.
It's not like a bridge. Yeah. It's like that goes by the university commons.
Yeah,
or whatever.
The commons area. There's that one that like goes down to the Walmart, the old Walmart and Publix and everything.
Yeah, there's a long Reddit post that I can send you to read during break. It really dives deep into it.
You know,
it.
We do have a bunch of ghost stories planned for this week. We'll have to just throw that in.
I believe in the curses and the ghosts.
I'm a big curse guy. I'm a huge ghost guy. I fully
as my
in
grandfather
ghosts.
Used to call him when I was younger. R.I.P. He lived to his 102. Haints, not haunts. They gonna haint you. Haint,
haint.
I like that.
Haint.
That terrible structure on campus there by the library could be one of the curses. I don't know when that thing was put up.
The
sculpture
looking,
that we don't know what is
the ugliest looking thing I've ever
it's
seen.
It's abstract
whole life.
Art. You know, it's beautiful.
It's whatever you think it is.
I think it's supposed to be like a symbol or like metaphor for like
for
the
unity.
Sun. Oh, I thought it was like the
I don't
sun
remember.
Going.
I feel like
see,
I read
none of
it.
Us know what it is. It's abstract, as Fish said.
It's such a
we're cursed
dumb,
for that
dumb thing.
It's hard not to look at the football team and think that they're not cursed or something because ebbs and flows, Tennessee should be back on the flow side. You know, you should be back to the top.
There's a what are you, undertow right now?
Yeah.
Keep further and further under.
We're kicking.
We can't swim parallel. Riptide. Riptide is killing us.
We're in a Mercury retrograde right now, but I think the football team's been in it for 10 years.
It is something to say.
10 years is generous.
Especially when you think about the amount of talent. And, I mean, we give the coaching staff and, you know, Butch's staff and this staff and the team a lot of flack as fans being fanatics, being crazy. But there has been a lot of talent on these teams to just not get back to second, third consistently. Second.
Did you guys see yesterday the stat that was put up of the Butch Jones year three team versus the Jeremy Pruitt year three team, spread would be?
That was actually from our good friend of the show, Tyler Wyatt. That was crazy. And here's what it says, according to Tyler Wyatt, at T. Wyatt Betts on Twitter. I was asked to run the numbers on what year three Butch Jones would be favored over year three Jeremy Pruitt. Result? 2015 Tennessee is a 16 to 16.5 point favorite versus the 2020 Tennessee team.
Yeah.
And my first thought about that was, well, that team had more talent. If you look, this team has not just more talent, a significantly, you know, much better talent.
Especially like at the offensive line.
If you do the like the grades of the whole team, it's like we were like an 803 total in 2015, and we're like an 830 now. It's 5 5 stars versus 1 5 star then. So, like, it wasn't just talent either.
Who was that?
But then when you think about it, that's the thing we're talking about when we criticize the quarterback of, like, not having it, not being, like, a gamer. Like, as far as talent, yeah, a lot of under – overachieving like 3 and 4 stars on that 2015, but you had a quarterback that can make plays.
There were some nasty players on that 2015 team. I know that hold on. How am I trying to say this? I think that Dobbs early in his career, because this is just 2015, I think that maybe is a disadvantage for the old Tennessee team. But I mean, like, I think that he's the key maker. But you look at some of these players on the 20, like, they were good.
Him, Derek Barnett, Alvin Kamara.
Preston Williams was on that
Jaylen
team.
Jalen Hurd. We're talking about a lot of guys who are in the NFL right
Cam
now.
Cam Sutton, Todd Kelly Jr.
I don't think Dobbs lost you any games in 2015. I think he put you in good position in all of them. I mean,
I'll agree.
Yeah, I don't think he lost you any by any means. I just think he got so much better, if I'm remembering the years right in my head. I might be getting the mix.
Well, 2016 was his best year. But 2015, he was solid too, as Fish is saying. He didn't lose games like Garantano can lose you games now. They just got outperformed, or it was defensive line-ish, secondary issues occasionally. Secondary is pretty solid. It was more about the defensive line not really having anything there. You had a very undersized offensive line in 2015 compared to what you have now. You didn't have too many beefy boys. You had guys up there that were 270.
God, we should have beat Florida that year. Let's see.
And when we went down to Alabama and almost beat them, and they were saying that was the best offensive line they had seen all year.
Right. Right. That was a big breakout game for Dobbs, if I remember correctly. And then, I mean, you put up 52 against Kentucky. You had a 3-point victory over South Carolina in November, and then close it out, wins against Kentucky, South Carolina, UNT, Missouri, Vandy, and Northwestern.
And then that's why the expectations were high in 2016.
Yes, that's
And then when you lose to Vanderbilt and you don't go to the Sugar Bowl. God, but yet, that 2016 team, and I know we've said it and we're going down memory lane right now, but legitimately looking at today, much rather have that team. But outside of if they don't lose to Vandy, and then I mean, that's a team that should have been in the SEC championship.
That's a team that was...
That was before Georgia was establishing their dominance. I mean, that was right... Was that Kirby's first year? So that was Kirby's first year. They had a good squad, and I guess it was his first year or second year he went to the playoff.
Hey, guys, I'll listen. I got to run.
Thank you, Fish.
Hey, thank you for the call, as always, Fish.
That's a solid team, though.
2015 was like 2 to 3 plays away from the playoffs.
Yeah. That's what I'm saying,
like,
yeah.
From being an 11-1 football team.
Yeah.
The
think Choke especially after looking back at the roster, I think that 2015 team was that's the year
that should be Florida.
Even somehow bigger choke against Florida when you didn't kick the extra when you kicked the extra point. Yes,
the chart,
the damn chart.
That's the Callaway touchdown,
and
right?
And then you followed it up choking to Arkansas. And those were three of your four losses. The only other one was hard fought to Bama. You should have won those three and gone 11-1, and it pains me every night.
And I was at that Arkansas game, and it was just so deflating because Arkansas just ran over you all day. Like, they got somewhere close to, like, 300 rushing yards that day. It was such a long game because they just got they got whatever they wanted.
Guys, that phone call with one of our favorites, The Fish, was brought to you by our good friends over at the G3 team. If you or a loved one have been injured in an accident, call the Knoxville-based law offices of G. Turner Howard III. Visit g3helmy.com or call them at 865-558-8030. Serving all of East Tennessee with over 20 years of experience, let the G3 team get you the money that you deserve. That's g3helmy.com. And remember, as always, that's G3 is in the number, not the word, g3helmy.com.
It's a block up, I tell you if it was us. Man, a house in Rosewood.
All right, fellas, here we go back here on Blitz 1038 AM. And I've been excited about this conversation for the whole day so far, and pretty much since I started thinking about it yesterday. Because what got me interested in this topic and what got me to really kind of break it down in my own head is, you know, one of the articles that we have on fanrunradio.com. And that's the great thing about FanRun Radio is that any of our writers can post just great opinions, and that's what they are, their opinions about anything they want. But this one was particularly interesting. The headline of it is, the Vols are only delaying the inevitable by keeping Jeremy Pruitt. All right, well, let's think about that. Delaying the inevitable, is it inevitable that Jeremy Pruitt's going to get fired? See, here's what I think. I think there are two different ways that Tennessee fans can kind of approach this slide. And granted, the slide's not over. Yes, you lost to Kentucky, but otherwise, you're pretty much where we thought we would be heading into the bye week. Now, coming out of the bye week, that's going to be a totally different story. But here's the way I see it. I believe that the reality that we're in right now is more along the lines of, hey, we have our current situation, and we still need to put all of our eggs into the basket of trying to, you know, figure out how to make this work, how to make this staff work, how to make this head coach work. I think he's shown glimpses in the past that, you know, he can lead this program. Obviously, he's stumbled in parts. But I think that's more of the conversation. I don't know about you guys, but I am tired of the coaching searches. I'm tired of it. I want some consistency. I feel like we say that every time, but then we jump. We leap at the idea of a coaching search because we are, what, we're Vol Twitter? I don't like that idea. I do not. Am I thrilled with Jeremy Pruitt's performance so far, especially this year? No, not entirely. It's felt like the team has come out flat on certain occasions. It feels like they haven't finished games on certain occasions. But I really believe that our reality as Tennessee fans right now and as people who watch the program, our reality is not looking for the next coach. I don't think our reality is saying that failure is inevitable. I think our reality is still, hey, we're in year three, we've seen glimpses, but I still think that, I mean, for the rest of this season, obviously we're going to be going forward. That's what I mean by reality, right? He has a contract extension. He's likely not going anywhere, so we have to lie in the bed that we're in. So let's try to figure out how to make it work. Let's try to build and figure out some of the strengths of this coaching staff. Granted, they got a lot of ways to go. We can see that very evidently with our own eyes when we get thrashed by Kentucky. But at least for me, and everybody can have their own opinion, but at least for me, I am far more in the reality of trying to figure out how to make this staff work as opposed to kind of, you know, taking the failure so far that we've accumulated and saying, hey, that's it, that's what you are, it's time to start thinking about the future.
Well, I don't think that it's fair. Anybody can really just say if he's going to be fired or not. I mean, if he keeps doing it, if they go 3-7 this year, yeah, next year is a hot seat year. Yep. I don't care if it is a COVID-related season. 3-7 means that you're only going to win one of these last five games, and that could potentially be that's a loss on the table to – that's only a win to Vandy. That's only – and that's right. a loss to Arkansas and Texas A&M and none of the teams that you should be able to compete with. Nobody's expecting – or they shouldn't expect this season for them to be able to beat Georgia, although they played a good first half, or them to beat Alabama, and they were good in certain spots in that. But I can't, even as biased as I am about I don't care for the quarterback, and I think Jeremy Pruitt has made some malpractice coaching decisions at times, I still think it's too early to say that. Then you got to see how the season ends. If he goes 3-7, next year you need at least 7 to 8 wins to keep him in here. At least 8 wins, I'd say, 8-4 season, something like that. Just it, you can't regress. And if he can, if he regresses and continues to regress after what we saw at the end of last season, and thinking about how much better they should be this season, working off of that and the improvement and the development that you saw at the end of last, if they regress from that and get worse as the years go by, of course he's not going to make it. And that's just college football business, SEC college coaching business. Like, he won't make it if that thing keeps happening. If he keeps getting on the way of, in the way of himself when it comes to making competent decisions about quarterback. Now, I think that I always thought, and Brandon thought I was being, it was very comical when I said 7 years, but I think this is a legitimate 6-year rebuild before you can be out. Next year will be the 4th year. Likely give him at least 5, but I would say 6. If he hasn't done anything significant by 6 year, and I, by significant I mean compete for the East, being one game away from playing in an SEC championship or something, not being the 3rd bottom feeder, the 4th bottom feeder in the SEC East, but being a game away where it comes down to a Florida win or a Georgia win to put you there, or maybe just fielding a team that can get you there. Don't have to win the SEC title. Tennessee fans just want to get back to Atlanta. They don't really necessarily, if you get back, expect to win. They just want to get back to being competitive and being thought of able to get there.
First off, Chance, I agree with you. I do think you need to give him 5 or 6 years on
maybe
this rebuild.
Seven, man.
As long as things don't just completely explode.
We're not catching up to Bama and Georgia in the next 2 or 3 years.
Yeah, you got to have
they
some
are
continuity
so
in this program.
Us.
You have to have continuity. The lack of stability is just
yeah,
plagued
you
us
can't just keep
this
doing
past
it.
Decade. And you hired Pruitt knowing that not only would he have to rebuild the roster, but he would have to learn how to be a head coach. It's such a high top tier program in such a big environment. So I mean that's part of what's happened. You know, as much as we like it or not, we knew that when we hired him that he was going to have to learn how to be a head coach, to when to be hands on, when to let other guys manage, and we need to let him get his guys in and get 4 or 5 years of his guys, get to the point where he has a roster made up of no more Butch Jones players left, where he's really been able to try to implement his culture and his identity and everything else. And after that 4th year, that 5th year, and maybe a 6th year, if it's evident that it's not going to work out, then you cut ties.
You're going to know.
But then at that point, you've provided some stability back to your program for the next coach to come in there. Because if you wanted to get all riled up and fire Jeremy Pruitt after this season or the next, you're not going to be able to hire anyone because no one's going to want to come here. No one's going to want to come to the place where coaches get 3 years in tough situations and the fans run them off. And,
I do agree with
and
that.
The fans are overly critical. Because I think the fans have had some negative effects on this program. I mean, it's made coaching searches harder because
agree.
Of the pressure they provide. And when they're very overcritical of this team, I mean, the coaches, they don't see that. They're not worried about that. They're in their own bubble. But the players do. The players see that. And you know, that can have an effect on the psyche of these players, too.
You know,
And no offense to anybody who wrote that article. I don't know the young man who wrote it on our digital team, but yeah, that's you got to throw it out there. I mean, a lot of people are thinking it.
I totally agree.
It's more of it shouldn't be just looked at as a witch hunt or you know somebody went after Jeremy Pruitt. It's also what you learn in journalism school from providing both perspectives, whether you believe in that perspective as the writer or not.
It's an opinion piece.
It's an opinion piece, and you provide both perspectives. Hey, here's one side of the fence, people who love Jeremy Pruitt.
Yes.
Here's the other side for people who don't really care for Jeremy Pruitt,
and that's
and we're
thing.
Thinking about maybe it's time for him to go.
You know, Chance, we ran a poll yesterday. right?
Yeah.
We ran a poll yesterday that said, do you at this moment
what were those results?
I believe that Jeremy Pruitt has the ability to complete the rebuild, finish closing the gap with Tennessee. Chance, there were 1,700 votes. Over 700 folks voted no. Yeah. They don't believe that Jeremy Pruitt right now has the ability to complete the rebuild or finish closing the gap. That's a lot of people.
It is.
That's over 700 people. So it's not like it's not this thought that when you see that or when you see somebody have that idea, you're just thinking to yourself, this is the most insane thing I've ever heard in my whole life. No, bro, there are 700 people who are very dissatisfied who does not think that they have that this staff has the ability to complete that rebuild. So that's obviously the next logical step. Now, I do think that the truth lies somewhere in between, but it's not a crazy thought. And I do feel like some of the fan base this is representative of.
Yeah, well, I was going to say, to give you the numbers real fast, Charlie, it's 58.5% said yes, they do believe that he has the ability to complete the rebuild, and 41.5% said no. And what that tells me, too, if you win Kentucky, I think that's more of 60-40 or even 70-30 if you beat Kentucky.
Sure.
70 yes,
sure.
30% no. And it's also a lot of people like me and like you. Like, we don't know yet. That's what that tells me. Like, it's too early to say. So I'm with the 58%. Yes, he can do the rebuild because you still don't know. Let's see how this season works itself out.
But, yeah, I mean, you the people got real riled up over that article yesterday, that opinion piece. A different opinion piece ran this morning.
Yeah.
Saying that Pruitt could still be the guy. Here's three reasons why.
Yeah.
People are riled up, and that's just exactly how divisive it is right now.
You know, that's
and that's because we all don't know, and we're frustrated.
That's the thing.
And we all know. We all know we have common frustration with the offensive issues, with the defensive issues you saw last week. We all have frustrations with two under center. That is the biggest frustration that I'd say that almost the entire fan base is unified on. We know that there needs to be a quarterback change, even though he played decent this last week, but we understand he's not a guy that can get you to an SEC championship, that can get you to competing in the East. And then we've seen what we like from Pruitt. About how he is a football guy, about how he did finish last year strong, and about how the mentality has changed around the football team.
All right, gentlemen, back here on the Blitz, 10:52 a.m., Rick, Charlie, and Chance hanging out with you. Hey, wanted to let you know, this whole first hour so far of the show today, everything we've talked about from Tennessee, Alabama, to Tennessee going forward with Jeremy Pruitt, it has all been brought to you by our good friends over at the FanDuel Sportsbook. Hey, sports betting is almost here. How about that? And FanDuel Sportsbook is giving you an exclusive offer to get started. Hey, check this out. Right now, FanDuel Sportsbook is giving its users $50 in free bets just for signing up. Yep, you heard that right. Nope, I didn't make any mistakes. FanDuel is giving you $50 in free site credit just to register and verify early. No deposit required. That's the key. You don't have to throw down any money beforehand. Look, unlike other sportsbooks, once you win, FanDuel gets your cash in as little as 24 hours. Why, Chance?
Because it's the right thing to do.
You know that's right. And right now, the right thing for you to do is to go download the FanDuel Sportsbook app and check out this fantastic and simple, intuitive app for yourself. Look, FanDuel's got a great network of apps on any app store, but we're specifically talking about the FanDuel Sportsbook app, so that's the one you need to go and download. When you verify your account, you will receive $50 in free site credit when the FanDuel Sportsbook is live, and make sure you do this. Look, you download your app, you open the app, you go and register, and while you're doing that, there'll be a promo code. Enter promo code BLITZ so they know that we sent you, so they know that the right people sent you to the right place. Again, FanDuel is America's number one sports betting site for a reason. We are so excited for this day to come here in just a couple days. We can't wait for this at all. Look, they've got all the biggest, they've got all the odds on all the biggest sports in a simple, intuitive app that makes it easy to find the bet you're
looking
for.
And it's so intuitive. Rick, I know we keep telling you, I downloaded the app, I told you, in the recent weeks because I'm getting ready for this launch date on November 1st. That's the anticipated date for Tennessee sports betting to go
yep.
live, and the app is very user-friendly. I mean, I can use it. I'm 36. Rick is in his 20s. He can use it. I've talked to my brother who I got to download, and he's 54. It does it. It has a range of age. This is not an ageist app. It's everybody can use it. It's simple.
It's one size fits all.
It's intuitive. It's not complex. We all can use the app, no matter how old you are.
And again, I mean, we did not procrastinate. Look, I procrastinate in a lot of things in my life.
Yeah, me too.
I made sure that this was not one of them. You go do that as well. Again, last time, use promo code BLITZ to get $50 in free site credit when the FanDuel Sportsbook is live, America's number one sports betting site. Must be 21 years old or older and present in Tennessee. Site credit is non-withdrawable and expires 7 days after receipt. Terms apply. See sportsbook.fanduel.com for details. For problem gambling support, call 1-800-889-9789. All right, gentlemen. Chase, what we got right here?
Riveting talk right now. We got Phil, and Phil, hold on for us really quickly if you can till the top of the hour.
Let's start the next show.
We want to give you a lot of time, Phil, to really get your thoughts across because I know you're fired up about the whole Jeremy Pruitt. It's time to get rid of him. Tennessee is delaying the inevitable. I think that we've sparked a lot of conversation, whether it's about him with the rebuild, whether it's what the digital team is doing over at fanrunradio.com. Most of the talk, and that's what happens during a bye week, people, too.
Especially you when they're going too hard.
When things aren't going too well, we do this every year, and I mean it because, like Charlie, like you, like me, we haven't seen many great Tennessee football seasons. I know I haven't since I've been here since 2009. So every year with the bye week, it's like, are we making a change here? Nah. Is the coach, depending on how long the coach has been with us, is it time to change coaches? This is what we do during a bye week, and we should talk about it.
Look, there's a plate of food out there for every single person. Now we're just trying to give you theirs. Either way, man, it's fun to break it down right here on the radio. Stick with us. We're going to do it next right here on the Blitz.